Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Index Podcast, where the three of us come together every couple of weeks to discuss on-chain data, chart crimes, and metrics that move the crypto industry. And us three, that is Hildobi, resident data wholesale at Dragonfly, Denning, on-chain data corgi at Flashbot, me, Boxer, community powers at Dune. And today we have our very special guest, Michael, sports fan at Optimism Labs. With us to discuss, or as they are commonly known, blobs. Michael, maybe if you could quickly introduce yourself and what you do at Optimism, and then we can just dive right into the topic.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm Michael, data analyst at OP Labs. Been there for a little over 2 years. Kind of touch anything on-chain data in the Optimism ecosystem. So recently, yeah, blobs, EIP4844 has been my obsession over the last few weeks. So yeah, excited to talk about it here.
Yeah, I'm very excited to hear about this topic because I've been kind of seeing this pop up on my Twitter timeline over the last few days. But I frankly don't have that much of an idea what this is or what this even means. So maybe what's the deal with EIP4844, Michael? Like, if you had to like 60 seconds in an elevator, what would your pitch be?
Yeah, so 60 seconds. So part of what rollups do is they post transaction data to a layer where, the rollup in the L2 can read that data later. So historically, this data has all been posted to layer one in call data. So meaning just pose a transaction to Ethereum, there's this whole big blob of data. So that's paid expensive layer one gas prices for pretty much the inception of all these rollups. So what EIP4844 does, it says like for every L1 block, there's just be this extra space where you can post data. And in this case, it's just static data, no code execution. It disappears after 18 days, just like spot to post data. And because of that, like there's some properties that make it cheaper. It's a completely separate gas market. There's this whole separate, how much data can be used per blob. So it's just like a completely separate gas market, separate spot for rollups to post data. And right now it is very, very, very cheap, which makes rollup user transactions very cheap.
Okay. That is a lot of buzzwords. So maybe if we can find an analogy. I think for rollups in general, I kind of have this idea of a highway in my head, where it's like Ethereum mainnet is the highway. And then if you think about individual transactions, so if I make a trade on Uniswap to like maybe trade my ETH for DAI, that's just me driving in the car. And I just like go on the highway. And then if you think about rollups pre this this block market or EIP4844, you could kind of think of them like bundling a bunch of transactions together in a bus and then like sending that bus on the highway. So it actually is kind of like, it's not perfect, I think, because like, the bus only has like part of the passengers or whatever. But in the end, it's kind of like, okay, like we settle transactions on mainnet, like transactions that have been committed on these rollups via a bus. And now if we think about the block market, it's kind of like, now we actually have a bus lane. Is that kind of like a correct like way to think about this?
It could be, yeah, like a bus lane in the sense if, and the bus lane was priced by how many buses are there, and there's not many buses right now. So it's pretty cheap to use the bus lane right now.
Yeah, so the bus lane, like currently there's no tolls on the bus lane. Bus lane is just very empty. Okay, so no more normal buses on like the normal like highway, I guess, or like maybe some we're going a bit
there's
too deep
some of the buses still stay there, but a lot of the buses have moved off.
So going back from that to the actual specifics here, so maybe what even like, so I called this EIP4844 earlier, so maybe if somebody maybe not you, Michael, maybe Dobby, if you can quickly, what's a EIP, like maybe just like 20 seconds take on that.
So it's like an Ethereum improvement proposal, which anyone can submit and then are open for discussion. And once there's consensus on one of them, it is slated to be part of the next upcoming Ethereum release. So EIP4844 was one of them, and that is the blobs update. The full process of how the discussion takes place is a bit more complex, but I think we don't necessarily need to go over this here. It's essentially how Ethereum upgrades are being made and how those are discussed, how those are proposed. So you can check the full history on those. There's even some more popular ones that could be like ERC20. I think EIP20 was for ERC20s. same for NFTs with EOS and so on. So yeah.
And you should basically and it usually take more than a few years to implement.
Yeah. This one's actually interesting for me. It was the first real EIP that I at least like observed some of like the beginning to end. So I remember at ETH Denver 2 years ago, like Proto at the OP Labs team was like, oh, at ETH Denver, I want to kind of prototype this potential EIP, help make rollup costs cheaper. I think ever since I started at OP Labs, one of the big focuses, there's another EIP idea proposal that predated this. And it's called 4488. That was just trying to make the layer one cost for data cheaper. That's an really good adoption. 4.86 show more what it looks like, but Proto Dank Sharding was another kind of take on that. But I remember like ETH Denver 2 years ago, we were in like this big Airbnb. I'm off on the side playing some Xbox game of like, you're with chefs, you had to go like work with your team and cook food. I don't know what's going on. The other side is like all these smart people writing up like 4.844 specs on a window. So it was very much a pure like, I don't know what I'm doing here, but I'm here. Nothing to contribute at the time, but now I understand it. I didn't then.
Yeah. Okay. So it kind of took a long time for this to actually take shape. But now we're here, and I think it was part of the Denkun upgrade. So there's not only one EIP that went live during this, but there's a few other changes to the network as well. But this was the most notable because it has such a big impact on rollups. And what that impact actually is, we're going to get into that. But maybe here's one last buzzword that's kind of flying around here. So we have EIP 4844. We've explained that blobs are just the actual data that we now post on mainnet in this special lane that we in the analogy that we made up. And then there's also like this proto dank sharding. So I think this is the first like kind of implementation of dank sharding, or like Michael, maybe can you actually explain this to me?
Yeah, I'm actually not as familiar with that. So you can get into it, but you can get into like what a blob actually is, like how this blob term kind of came to be.
Yeah, that's interesting as well. Yeah.
So I say at least like, with proto dank sharding now being like, this is a first prototype of what a shard could look like. But in this one, like at least how I think about it is maybe for the analogy before, like the bus is the blob. So for each block, there's a certain amount of blobs that can go into each block. So at most, there can be six blobs per block. And a blob actually, which I didn't know at the time, also learned 2 years ago, is that a blob is actually a technical term. I don't know if it's like a backronym or something, but it's like a binary large object, I think is the term for it. Which refers to, I think it's like 128 kilobytes of data, 125 kilobytes of data. So every rollup, when they are posting blobs, they have to purchase a full blob. No more than six. The blob limit per block is six blobs. The target's three, so following like a 1559 style pricing, if there's more than three blobs per block, price should go up, or if it hits some threshold, price goes up. And if there's less than three blobs per block, price should go down. Yeah, so we'll get into that, I'm sure. Talk about how often blobs have been used so far, but it's still, at least as of recording, have not hit blob congestion yet, so still some room to go. More room for more buses.
When you say the fee goes up or down, it's the blob base fee? And it's separate from the base fee?
Yeah, so it's a blob base fee. So that's an interesting part of this, kind of alluded to before. This does create a separate gas market. So it is like the first instance I think we've seen on Ethereum of a multi-dimensional fee market, just meaning that there are two gas prices to be concerned about. So there is a general L1 base fee, which you've been used to forever. It's like what the gas price is for using L1. But then the cost for blobs, there's a separate blob base fee. So I guess whenever you're thinking about like what's the cost to a rollup. There is some cost to the L1 transaction that points to the blob, which we should get into too. There is some cost to the L1 transaction. You pay L1 gas prices for that. But then the cost for posting your blob into blob space, there's some base fee for that. So what we've been referring to is that since there still has not been like a sustained blob usage above three blobs per block, the blob base fee has been at the minimum, which is one way. So usually you're used to gas prices being quoted in Gwei. A way is like one e to the nine way. So if you look at it like pricing it in Gwei, the gas price for blobs has been one like times 10 to the negative nine, as close to zero as possible in Ethereum terms.
Yeah. So with all of those technical details, what actual problem are we solving here?
Yeah, I can potentially pull up our first chart of the day to go into it. So I'm pulling up now from like a whole large, way too long Superchain dashboard that we have. at OP Labs. This one chart that I'm showing now is just summing up the total data fees that are paid by a rollup. So much like what all their costs are, whether it's L1 gas, like we mentioned, blob gas, like we mentioned. And I'm just hovering over a chart. You can see there's like pretty much this whole chart is a black bar. There's like some little instances of blue, some little instances of gray. But like what black on this chart refers to is L1 call data fees. So when rollups were posting all of this compressed transaction data onto L1, you can see here that was like it varies, but most cases like 95-99% of the total fee is just putting those transactions onto Ethereum. And there's been, you know, occasionally sometimes there's rollups are overcharging, undercharging. This margin kind of has fluctuated a little bit historically for OP chains, which is what this chart is showing. So summation of OP mainnet, base, Zora, and mode. And so, yeah, this chart now is just showing the last 30 days. So you can see, like, up until the upgrade, there's this huge black bar referring to just posting data on L1 Ethereum. And then what's just been probably a theme of a lot of these 4844 dashboards is it looks like there's a data error on March 14th, Pi Day, when the upgrade went live, on the OP chains at least. You go from, like, these huge black bars to just nothing. And if you zoom in, you can see like very, very, very little. There is some little light gray, which is like L1 overhead fees, which in this case are just, you know, you submit an L1 transaction. There's some just floor gas used per transaction. So on Ethereum, just the minimum gas per transaction is 21,000 gas. So if you do an ETH transfer, you'll spend 21,000 gas. So for every time blobs are submitted, the OP batch submitter is doing a just 21,000 gas transaction. Which just contains the pointer to those blobs. So the costs just go essentially as close to zero as possible. And you can see even here now, the blob fees, you know, this black line call data fees. So on March 13th, across these four OP chains that I mentioned, they spent 167 ETH in call data fees on March 13th. On March 14th, that went to zero. It looks like the total like data fee, was like a little bit over like 1.5 ETH. And that's even a little skewed because this day also contains some hours before the chains migrated. So going to March 15th was probably the first full complete day of just blob data posting. These chains spent 0.47 ETH plus something E to the negative 10 in blobs in their data costs. And so those savings all pass on to the users. That's where you saw, you know, transaction fees go to less than 1 cent temporarily, but essentially, yeah, the cost of posting transaction data on Ethereum was, you know, 95%+ of rollups costs. That cost goes to zero overnight, at least temporarily. And that just makes like the whole, I think of it as like the whole cost structure of this, you know, rollup business just completely got slashed.
I have
exciting times.
Bunch of questions. So yeah, first of all, ahead. Your chart says call data, or like, is that typo? Call data?
Yes.
Okay, never mind. So my way of understanding of like the total L2 fee is basically there is a layer 2 execution fee as your dashboard's showing. There's also the cost layer 2 is posting back to the layer 1, and then they need to pretty much estimated beforehand and like charge user, and later on there might be, you know, positive or negative, as in like they might overestimate it or they might be underestimated. And that's why your chart on L1 data feed is showing that there is a potentially overhead sometimes. There is net margin sometimes. Like I see the net margin fee could be negative. So that's probably when the L2 is at underestimating, if I'm understanding correctly.
Yeah. So at least how the OP chains work. So each chain will set fee scalers. So historically, it's been just the L1 fee scaler. So you take the size of your transaction, multiply it by some amount, multiply that by the gas price, and that's what you charge to users on the L2 side. And then eventually, you pay for that on the L1 side. So yeah, there's some delay of does the L1 gas price move. What we most often see causing, at least on data margin, to go negative sometimes is where the transactions don't compress as well as you expect them to compress. So that's what we're seeing down negative. Like there's been some apps, I think OP mainnet was the one driving this, like some apps that sent a high volume of pre-compressed transactions. So kind of being undercharged there led to some negative margin. Negative margin, at least on data. Yeah.
And
but base fees, priority fees make up for it.
How long usually is the delay of the layer one posting? Is it, I guess it's different by per L2 chain. Maybe like how long does LP, like OP Labs send afterwards? And is that a fixed number or does the chain actually adjust or optimize based on like gas fee volatility? I'm curious.
Yeah, let me see. So there are charts somewhere here. Yeah, so I'm showing a chart here, like average seconds between L1 data transactions. So historically, you can see like for base and OP mainnet, it's been about like 60 seconds to 100-ish seconds, so a minute to a minute and a half between these L1 data submissions. Okay. And so, yeah, so that's a function of like each chain, there's like various kind of parameters in there, like how long are they willing to wait at most between submitting transactions, or based on actual data compression, how long does it take you to like fill up a whole, they call like frame of data or channel of data to then post to the L1.
Right.
Yeah. And then you see some of these chains.
Yeah. It's interesting. Is that actually like, say the way to read this chart is that right after the upgrade, the posting frequency has been much higher because maybe it's cheaper or.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there, so kind of like two things happen here, I guess. Yeah. One is like, imagine like the blobs are a little bit like larger than what you could fit in L1 call data. So there's more, and meaning this is like the OP chains, we can show another chart too, are posting or at least targeting trying to post six blobs per L1 data transaction. So that's a way just to optimize how much L1 gas you're paying per transaction on L2. So if you can do six blobs for one L1 transaction or one blob per L1 transaction, you know, six blobs per one L1 transaction is a little cheaper there. So you see that happening. But then for this part chart specifically, there's also a, this like parameter of like the max timeout window per chain. So how long they're willing to wait before submitting transaction data. Yeah, that window got extended as part of a parameter change in here. I'm thinking like chains that are a little bit lower throughput transaction wise. So Mode and Zora, are submitting less frequently.
Oh, I see. So actually they're posting much less frequent.
Yeah, okay. Less frequently than before. Yes, so, yeah, like 3,000 to 4,000 seconds between, which, yeah, maybe I got to put this in minutes to make that,
that's calculation insane. Easier. Okay. Is that actually delay any, like, security guarantee? Like, if they're posting 4,000 seconds and wouldn't, and also, how would that, like, does that affect the 18 days of blob kind of thing?
Yeah, so I think the main difference here is from, like, a UX perspective, if there's, like a centralized exchange or any kind of cross-chain bridge that's waiting to see those transactions posted on layer one. Yeah, that would be some kind of delay there. I think the benefit that these chains get, like it is a trade-off. I think in my opinion, like the benefit that these chains get by extending their window a little bit is that they can use blobs and use L1 gas space or L1 gas way more effectively or way more efficiently and reduce cost for users that way. So yeah, there's a trade-off between when do some of these actors who want to see the data on L1 before reacting, like trading that off versus user transaction fees? But yeah, right now these chains are posting batches a little less frequently. And if their transaction volume does increase, then they'll fill up their blobs and their data transactions more frequently. And we'll see these numbers kind of go down. So even see like Zora after day one has fallen a little bit, which could be a parameter change, could be more transactions. Yeah, doesn't need to go a layer deeper to see.
Isn't it like with the Zoran mode that they're just seeing like fewer transactions and thus like waiting for the blobs to be filled up and thus posting less frequently, whereas base and OP mainnet are seeing more in general?
Yeah, so I can show this coming up to the top a little bit. The main unit here is really transaction data. So like really like how large are the transactions? Unless anything's weird, it should be fairly consistent with just general transactions per day. But now I scroll up a little bit towards the top here, two charts side by side. On the left, we'll see like L2 gas used per second. That's like a pure computation measure, kind of irrelevant for now in terms of transaction data. But on the far right, we see transactions per day by all these chains. So yeah, you can see like historically, base OP mainnet around 400K per day, Zora around 85K, Mode had been between 50 and I think had a spike up to 100K around the time of the upgrade. But yeah, then on March 16th, base peaked at 2 million transactions per day. Yeah, so each of these rollups we're seeing a little bit more increased usage. So we'll definitely interesting trend to track over time too. what happens with these chains when fees go to zero. There's this whole topic of induced demand. Like, you increase supply, you make costs lower. Does that naturally bring more demand? I think naturally you'd expect some, you know, arbitrage bots to spike up immediately, just since their, you know, break-even cost is cheaper as transactions get cheaper. But I'm excited to see, it's like, what kind of applications, use cases do these lower fees bring? Especially with, like, you know, what I'm excited about is seeing transactions decrease, Farcaster Frame transactions come out, some of these like account abstraction or like smart wallets, things that Coinbase is working on. They demoed something during ETH Denver where you could like pay fees with your Coinbase account. So I think there's, yeah, hopefully all these things centering around lower fees that could, potentially lead to more demand on L2s, but definitely brings more challenges as well, dealing with L2 congestion.
One last question. Like, I realized the overhead gas was not what I was thinking. So what is it in the first chart?
I'll go back down. So overhead gas, here. So this little light gray bar here just refers to the non-call data paid on L1. So the case being, like, even if you send a transaction with zero data, so example being an ETH transfer, or just any kind of transaction where the data field's zero. So if you go on Etherscan, scroll down on a transaction, open up the input tab, you'll see like whatever your data you input into your transaction. Just for doing that, like, there's a fixed 21,000 gas no matter what you do. So that's what this overhead is referring to, is just that fixed 21,000 gas per transaction.
Whatever like other operation that the OP Labs was doing, like, that's not related to posting call data, or am I understanding correctly?
So it's just the flat 21,000 gas per L1 transaction. Okay. Like, the minimum, no matter what you do, you'll pay 21,000 gas plus whatever you do. So it's just, so it's a way to split out what costs due to user transaction data versus just how the L1 operates. So hypothetically,
there's an EVM thing. Gas fee into like what exactly it's for. I see.
Yeah. That's kind of the goal with these charts, is just split things out as much as possible, just so we can, try to understand what the fee contributors are. Seeing how historically this L1 call data has been almost everything, and now goes to zero. But yeah, this chart on the right, which shows base fees, execution fees, is really where we're seeing costs come from now. So base fees are just L2 congestion. So similar to the L1, based on how much gas you use on L2, price can go up, price can go down. So that's this red base fee. And then pink priority fees here, again, similar to the L1, if you want your transaction to get in faster, which I think is mostly coming from some type of like high frequency actors now, you'll pay priority fees and you see fees come from there as well. But I expect like regular consumers, like me pressing buttons on a thing, I have no reason to pay a priority fee. So it's kind of a weird thing to think about in terms of a normal user, but it is a source of fees for these L2s.
Okay, so if we go all the way back to the initial question, what's the problem this solves? Maybe if I can quickly repeat back what we've learned here. So before ERP 4844 went live during the Denkun upgrade, Optimism users were paying 160 ETH, or let's say on the last day they were paying 160 ETH, and at the highest they were paying like 350 or something ETH in a day to actually post their call data to Ethereum mainnet. And now that we have EIP 4844 live, we can bundle these transactions together in blobs, and those blobs will be posted to mainnet by the Optimism batch sequencer or whatever. Like the contract that's actually sitting on L1 and that somehow, like, the sequencer somehow receives
posting,
the data.
And the batch is posting. Yeah. And then right now blobs are, essentially are, they cost one way per byte, which is essentially as close to zero as possible. So
okay.
The cost of posting data went near zero.
And then in like, we looked at one chart, which was like the frequency of call data that's posted to L1. And in there we could observe that the frequency of posting the call data on L1 has actually gone up for both, all like for all like four chains that you're tracking on this dashboard, which are Base, Optimism, Mode, and Zora. And you were saying this is the case because the blobs actually need to fill up. I don't think I quite understand what is happening there. So maybe if you could shine a light on that would be interesting.
Yeah, here I think just calling out the increase in Mode and Zora. So there's parameters in the batcher that say like either wait until you have this much data to submit, or if you don't reach that much data, wait this long before you submit. And so what that max window was increased as well. That's just like a parameter change. So I think that's what you're seeing here as well. But the goal remains the same, is how can you make these chains as efficient with how they submit data to L1? Like, ideally, the more efficient you are, the lower you can reduce fees for users on the L2 side, and all goes around.
Yeah. So there's 128 kilobyte size limit, you said? And this is basically the compressed call data. And is it exactly the same? Or like, yeah, is it the same call data as before the upgrade?
Yeah, yeah. So I can pop over to...
So it's the same messages. They now just drive on the special lane.
Right.
And they need to be, like, you can only send the full bus down the highway.
If the roll-up's the city, like, the city still pays for the full bus. Ideally, more people are in the bus, but if there's only one person in the bus, you still got to pay for the whole bus. So in the sense being that roll-ups have to purchase these full blobs. Ideally, if you want to be as efficient as possible, they're filled with transaction data.
If you're not, and we could kind of say, like, there's a timeout. So, like, at a certain point, like, we will, like, the blob will still be posted. The optimism still needs, let's say Zora, because this is actually an applicable example. But it's like, if there only was one transaction, which doesn't seem very likely, or there only was like 100 transactions on Zora in a certain time period, we could maybe go to a time. I think there's like a 4,000 is like the biggest spike here.
Down to it. But yeah, I think to continue this analogy, the concept could be that the bus will only wait at the bus stop for so long before it goes. And
I hope our listeners are able
to. It is gone. Yeah.
I think it works relatively well, but we'll see what the comments say. So basically, it's just like TLDR, everything gets cheaper because we have a special vehicle in which we can now post call data on L1. So that's very cool. So this has led to a spike in transactions on Base. Well, do you actually know what that was about, or is it just? I think there was like one commemorative NFT mint for EIP 4844.
Yeah,
was that
mostly
what drove this?
So on the first day, so you can see, So Base, on day one, I guess, days 1, 2, and 3, Base was seeing over 1 million transactions and got over 2 million on March 16th, which is about like 3 days after the upgrade. Yes, on day one, there was a commemorative NFT mint that actually led to, a L2 base fee spike on Base, which we can get to what causes that. It made transactions, a little more expensive, way more expensive than the subcent that we'd seen for some period of time. So that happened. And then even since then, still need to go way, way deeper into exactly what kind of transaction activity has picked up since the upgrades. That'd be a cool project for someone to go down. At least from poking around, it seems like there's been a lot of, either a lot of trading bots or other kind of like social applications that have just had a short-term spike in transactions that, led to this list is kind of increase here. Yeah.
Okay. So the transactions on Base, the transactions on Base actually went up so much that the savings you achieved by having the blobs on L1, or like no longer having to pay the L1, the capacity of Base got extended so much that the gas fees on Base had to rise.
So some similar idea where on L1 there's, if over some amount of gas is used, price goes up in blobs. Oh, my thumbs up thing is still on. In blobs, some amount of gas is used, or some amount of blobs are used per block, price goes up. Similar with L2s, some amount of L2 gas, which we can think of as computation gas, kind of the same unit as what you're used to when you talk about gas anywhere else, especially like on L1. When some amount of that is used, your base fees go up. Similarly, the cost is usually very, very low, but this chart on the left that I'll hover over now is showing gas per second across these four OP chains. And right now, the target on every OP chain is 2.5 million gas per second. So with 2 second blocks, 5 million gas target per block. So put that in seconds, 2.5 million gas per second. So over 2.5 million gas used in a block, price goes up. Under, price goes down. He's like, OP mainnet here has been kind of near congestion or at congestion for a while, whereas all the other chains have been below. So there essentially was no base fee. And you can show on another dashboard as well. But on March 14th on Pi Day, when this upgrade really went live, you see Base and OP mainnet both spike up above 2.5 million, so at congestion. And since have sat right at the congestion level. Other things to look into, they see Mode now, yesterday, March 17th, the time of recording, has gotten to 3.2 million gas per block. So Mode definitely hit some congestion yesterday. Yeah, I can go to another chart to show how that impacts user fees. So this chart or this dashboard here is kind of what we've been looking at just to monitor migration in terms of what's the impact on user experience. So yeah, control like one chart, the very top here is kind of just tracking the trailing day before the upgrade went live, what transaction costs were, 50, 60 cents a dollar. You see the upgrade happens and everything just kind of plummets back down. But as you follow along, like I mentioned, there's this one spike where Base had a ton of gas use, prices went up. So it's like, yeah, 16.35 UTC on March 14th. Base transactions went up to 57 cents median. During the same time period, OP mainnet was about 5 cents, Zora was a tenth of a cent. So that was a pretty notable spike. But yeah, since then, occasional little blips, but things have been pretty close to zero. And these charts are all by minute, so it gives us like a really fine-tuned, granular view.
Do we know?
Yeah, and scrolling down further, you can see this base fee spike on L2, which coincides with the transaction cost increase up top.
Do we know what are the spikes of the transactions for, like the breakdown of what are people doing there?
Yeah, you could. I mean, what I was doing is like during this time period, I was looking at some dashboards that were showing me, you know, what was the most commonly used contracting gas within that last hour. So I think for this spike, I believe this was some type of trading bot. One of these earlier spikes here, might be this one here, was that commemorative mint causing that increase. But I think we'll see. Like, this is definitely a thing to monitor over time. Like now, we've freed up the bus lanes. I don't know where the analogy for this goes. Free up the bus lanes. Now you worry about the seats. Now it's not a weird one too. But essentially the case being, and other people have had good commentary about this, is, you know, even again back to what problems to solve, which so I'm making this answer so long. So the problem was that like Ethereum data was the bottleneck. Like putting transaction data on Ethereum was the bottleneck, making things expensive. That was preventing scaling. You've at least for some time period mitigated that problem. Like not completely solved yet, but like you've mitigated it for some period of time. And so right now, when that becomes less of a problem, now L2 congestion becomes the problem, or is becoming more of a problem than before. So yeah, a lot of interesting things to figure out development wise of, how you go about what to solve next. Ways to solve this are, there's like many different ways. I know like the optimism idea is like this whole super chain idea where, have all these multiple L2s all communicating with each other, scale computation with more L2s. Other ideas could be increasing the gas target or the gas limit of these chains. We'll see where things go and develop. But yeah, once L2 computation or L2 activity becomes the bottleneck versus L1 data, what do you do is the next frontier.
Yeah, at least we've gotten to this stage. This is actually like, The fact that Base immediately went into like a fee spike is also like that. That's basically like what you would want to see long term, where it's like, like now we can think about the engineering problem of like, how do we increase throughput of all kind of L2 EVMs combined, except like instead of thinking about like, how does this one L1 kind of take all of this call data? So that's very interesting. So I think there's some controversy like regarding, or like maybe so basically I think that's more interesting to dive in first, where it's like now all of this is free, but how, like I think there's like a bunch of dashboards that a bunch of wizards have created where it's like, of course Optimism's posting data, but then there's also Starknet, Arbitrum, a bunch of other folks have started posting data. So how does this fee market actually work, and like how many blobs can be posted in a block? Like maybe if you can walk us through like how that fee market is going to work. We dove into it a bit earlier, but I think there's a lot more meat here.
Yeah. I can go show Hildavi's for a minute, but I'll jump over to ZeroX Robs here, who I think probably had one of the most popular dashboards kind of visualizing the actual blob congestion. So I'm just showing a chart, a bunch of horizontal and vertical lines, like classic charts go. But you can see there's like the two of the main like thicker horizontal lines. One will kind of visualize this target of blobs per block. So yeah, this target is three. So again, like if more than three blobs are used per block, more than three buses in the bus lane, the price of using the bus lane goes up. Less than three buses in the bus lane, price goes down. There is some like buffer there where if it goes up temporarily, the price won't go up. There's 1559 logic and parameters that go handle all of that. But yeah, essentially what we're monitoring here, we can see like vertical blue lines spike up how many blobs are used per block. And you can see certain areas where it gets more concentrated. Like I'm hovering over one area where you see a lot of concentrated three blob blocks kind of over and over and over again. It seems like recently there was like a concentration around like four blobs per block. But still, I mean, just trending, there's a moving average line on this chart that kind of shows the average blobs per block. I'm saying blobs way too much already. Has been about like, yeah, 1.2, I guess, is where these average lines kind of jump up at. So still implying that we're not the right equation. Is there like a little bit over 2x growth away from of like consistent blob usage from seeing the blobs hit congestion. And once the blobs hit congestion, yeah, who knows where that price will go. But yeah, at least still for now, we're under this blob target. And so the blob base fee has stayed, which is, yeah, the cost of using this blob data has stayed at the absolute bare minimum. So yeah, without being too extreme, like blobs are as close to free as possible right now and have been since this upgrade took place.
Okay, to repeat.
Can I share a chart afterwards on this? I have something on like, because it's like the reason we're not at target is also because it is an opt-in system where chains choose to start posting blobs. And not all chains have opted in yet, or at least even I think Michael also did some calculation a while back of how if all current chains did opt in, then we wouldn't be like halfway to the blobs target still. So we have like margin for more chains to come in. But if you look, it's not one of those charts. It's one of those charts with labels on them. If you can let me share my screen quickly, I'll showcase what I mean, which, give me one second. Yeah, so this is not it. Share the stat. Yeah, I just want to show like when chains started to post, and you can see how the initial spike was started by like ZK Sync, and then StarkNet kind of, is the big poster in all this. It's the one that's been taking most of the blobs. Originally, they really raised it, the current like moving average of number of blobs posted per minute here. And then OP and main and base released around midnight UTC, and Zora and Mode quickly after. But since then, I think Arbitrum has also joined, but hasn't impacted all that much. Most of the impact has been from StarkNet. And if we look here, on this chart, you can see that the vast majority of, blobs are posted by StarkNet. And it actually started to decrease, eventually, and they optimized their, prover, which is a shared prover, they use for, them, but also some, app chains using, StarkNet. So let me see. If you look here, at one point, the 15-minute moving average was almost at target. That was like a few hours into the upgrade. And it looked like for a while that we were going to get the fee market to kick in and start being, you know, moving from that one-way original value. But that didn't happen. And now if you look back on here, you can see that we're still... Now, like, you know, at this point, like barely a day in, we're almost going to reach the targets. And then here we're back to maybe not even half of the target. So we've got some margin to play with. It still is that StarkNet posts a lot, but they changed it so that it's more optimized. And now if you look on this, on the left chart, you'll see how they started just like posting very regularly to a lot less regularly, but in big batches. I think Rob also has a good visualization on this.
Who set this target? What is this target about?
It's just like you have target for the number of gas in the block in general. You have the same for blobs. You have a target of three way and a limit of three blobs and a limit of six blobs per block.
But like, is this like an OKR that the developers set themselves? Like, what is this actually like? Why do we call this target? There's a limit of six. So theoretically, there's space for six blobs from Optimism could buy all six if they wanted to, I guess. But like theoretically, it's like six rollups can post their blobs or like their blob data in one block.
Yeah.
And why is there a target of three? Like how does that make?
So if it's between three and six, that's where the EIP 1559 like dynamics kick in, and you start to see the market like change from the one way base fee, so that like it's optimized for, you know, supply and demand, and thus like those who are willing to pay that fee will be the one submitting, and it also removes any potential spam or anything from happening on the network. So it's just like for the market to kick in a fair way, where, you know, people who are ready to pay those higher fees will be the ones submitting, whereas any potential spam or anything like this is alleviated.
So this is another case of ETH people being horrible at naming things. This is like a threshold. It's not really a target.
Yeah. I guess. Well, yeah.
Yeah, it's a threshold where the fee market kicks in.
Well,
yeah.
Like everything below this line is basically like they're trying to incentivize of people.
Yeah,
like,
I think it's a target in terms of, you'd expect if, and we'll see it like I showed on a chart before, that where OP mainnet had been sitting at the target for a while. Even if you look at a chart of how much L1 gas, like Ethereum gas, is being used per day, it's kind of sitting right at the target. Like as these markets happen where like, oh, price goes up, less demand, price goes down, more demand. So it kind of, I think of a target as like at full congestion, you should be using this much stuff at a time, whatever that is, whether it's blobs, you know, whatever else it is. This could be the first EIP share. Go ahead.
So this is like optimal resource utilization or something like that. That's like the target.
I'm screen sharing the EIP now, and there's some comment of like where the target and where the max blobs per block came from. And so there's commentary like these targets are initially limited to try to like observe the strain on the network and see, does the Ethereum network, so like, can it handle all these blobs being posted? There's some constraint there, but it was like defined in the EIP what these blobs are, and we'll see over time, does the target increase, does the target decrease, what happens there.
And also, it's not necessarily like six rollups posting six blobs, and it could be like one transaction have one blob, or I think many blobs, or maybe like one transaction even have six blobs posted by one rollup. Then I think then there is gas auction kicks in, like whoever is paying higher then will take that block for the transaction with the six blobs. Yeah,
actually still unclear to me. And I think another thing to observe over time is, what happens when there's a lot of demand for blobs in a block. So right now blobs do have a base fee. There's no blob priority fee, at least yet. We'll see if there is in the future. So one of the metrics I was interested in tracking over time is how long does it take for, like, how long are blobs sitting in the mempool, or how long are blob transactions sitting in the mempool? I know some people are like have some early attempts at trying to do that, but it'll be interesting to see over time. I believe so far it has not, I mean, seems like no one, it's not been an issue yet. But on that topic of how all these different rollups are using blobs are a little bit different. It's maybe hard to read now, but I'm just sharing a table. It's just like a summary of the last 7 days of total blob transaction posting per rollup. And I'm using Hildabi's labels, so thank you, Hildabi. It's like stole the labels from your dashboard. So composable data going on here. But even just examples to call out, see rows here. Just highlighting, so for each rollup here, just some total stats, how many blobs, how many transactions, not super relevant now. But we will see it's a little different is how many, or one of the things we'll see it's a little different is how many blobs they are posting per L1 data transaction. So over the history of blobs so far, Base has posted like 5.9 blobs on average per L1 transaction. Starknet's posted one. Arbitrum's averaging 6, so full blobs every time. OP mainnet 5.85, base and Zora a little bit less than 5. So there's different levels of efficiency there. Another point is, like I mentioned, like there is an L1 transaction. That's how you post your blobs. There's an L1 transaction. And in that, there's like a point or two where those blobs are. And so each of these rollups will use a different amount of L1 gas per transaction. So you can see all the OP chains here. Like this is the overhead that I referred to. So this second row here, I'll zoom out a little bit more so you can actually see the label. So yeah, so you can see like base, OP mainnet, Zora, mode. Yeah, all these are using 21,000 gas per blob transaction. So just, you know, the OP batch submitters will just post data to an EOA, no contract execution, just a transaction to an address. See some of these other rollups, not all, but some are doing like 140, 175, 140,000 gas per blob transaction. So yeah, different kind of like efficiencies there as well. But
yeah, which is also like, to put this in context, like this is also like not really that expensive on Ethereum mainnet. It's like, of course, this costs more money, but 140, like I don't, like this is basically computational like logic for like depositing something on Aave or something. It's not like a huge amount of gas.
Yeah.
My ballpark could be off here, but like this is not like a crazy, crazy amount of gas. It's still like in the like a normal user could incur this much like gas computational costs with a kind of normal transaction on mainnet.
Yeah. So it's still costs will get potentially amortized across, however transactions are calculated, but just, yeah, interesting in terms of how different stacks are using blobs for now, and we'll see how that trends over time.
So I see in this table, Arbitrum is posting 6 blobs per transaction. So
yep.
If they choose to publish their blobs, I guess, they do 6 at once, and then they basically fill up the entire block that they post this transaction. Is that, like, do I understand this correctly?
Yeah. So in this case, it would be, for whatever block and for Arbitrum or any other submitter that's doing 6 blobs at once, that whole transaction would be, or that whole block would be Arbitrum blobs. And you can see blob scan, you can pull up, has a pretty good way to visualize this.
So is there kind of data compression going on over multiple of these 128 kilobyte blobs? Like, does the data kind of span over different blobs? Do you know?
I know.
Because like that seems like a strange thing. So like, in theory, if Arbitrum has like a real high transaction spike, and they wouldn't post data every block, but every, let's say 10 blocks on mainnet, they post like a 6 blob transaction and basically like pricing all other rollups out of this. That seems like a very strange dynamic.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I think maybe like a good visual of this is like, how often are these rollups posting blobs? Because it is true. It's if anyone's posting 6 blobs per transaction, if you get those in, you're the only one getting blobs in for that block. So how that market evolves over time, who knows? I'll see here how often. I mean, you can go back to the chart from before, is how long is there in between like data transactions per rollup? I think for the OP chain, for OP mainnet base, I think it was once every 2 minutes or so. Other chains longer. Not sure what Arbitrum or other chains are at now, but I guess like the closer that gets to 12 seconds, then that becomes more of an issue.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Another cool metric would be how many, like, what's the blob fullness per block, I guess, which is what Hildabi showed earlier.
Yeah, so I do already kind of sense some controversy here, where it's like, there's a similar story, or like, there's one story on Bitcoin ordinals, where it's like, somebody just, like, looked at the mempool and just basically front-ran all, or just because somebody, like, ran a script. And, like, similarly, I think there's, like, I don't know how expensive this would be, but couldn't somebody simply run an economic attack here where they're like, I'm just going to post 6 blobs every block, and then all the, I don't know, like, how does that fee market work? Like, how expensive? I mean, I don't expect you to pull up calculations now, but like, there is a possibility that like, this is not whitelisted contracts or anything. Like, anyone can post blobs, and therefore, like, right, somebody could basically congest this special lane.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess your minimum cost would be yeah, how much is it to post an L1 transaction every single block, and then whatever the blob, six blobs is every block. And yeah, well, also, I don't know if the incentive is to do it, but I guess if you really, 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 really wanted to, there's something you could do. We'll see. It's interesting. Yeah. It was actually maybe on that topic too, is, yeah, we hadn't really seen so far, knock on wood, a lot of like there's been some small instances of non rollup usage of blobs, but nothing that we really see notable here. I think maybe one good way to see on this chart, which one is other here? Can even see other. Other is just that one little dot. So at least right now, it's like pretty much all rollups that are using blobs right now. What was controversial actually, so before, it was at AddEthNever probably a week before blobs came out. Myself and a few others put together this cost estimator of how much your transaction could cost post 4844. And what we thought was controversial then was, what do you assume the blob base fee gets to? What do you assume the L2 base fee gets to? Yes, there's some controversy, I guess, there around how can you actually project what these costs will be once they go live on mainnet? Yeah, but now I guess there's what is like ties all together is you don't know how much, what the roll-up usage is going to be like, how that increases. Will there be any spam?
Has your estimation been close to current levels, or yeah, do you have any picture on this? I remember the frames on Falcaster that was really cool, where it like pulls up a recent transaction of yours and compares it to if blobs were live, how much the transaction cost would have been affected. And it was a huge amount. But yeah, I don't know. This exactly, which is on screen, which is super cool. And like, it shows you real usage of like, it showed me a recent transfer. I had like sent money to, I think, Denning or something. And it showed me this transfer to Denning would have cost like way less.
Yeah. So this is our Farcaster frame that we put out. And yeah, I could look through your recent transactions, or I'll pull up a sample transaction now. It'll give you an estimate of what that transaction cost during the prior period before this upgrade, where you're posting transaction data to L1 Ethereum, and now like an estimated cost, what we thought it was going to be potentially after blobs. So there's no way to know what the blob gas would cost. Like, this didn't exist yet. Like, the thing that's right now at one way, there was this this prediction market that was giving you people were betting on it, what they thought the price was going to be. So we use that as an estimate here. And then added on some potential L2 congestion. Again, we had no idea what the increase in demand would be after this went live. So yeah, did some estimation there to give this. And I think so far we've been either like spot on or a little bit of an overestimate, because this assumes that blob gas actually has a price. Right now it doesn't. This assumes about like 0.01 extra L2 Gwei base fee, and can pull up what it's actually been now. Yeah, so L2, so OP mainnet and base are now a little bit less than 0.01 base fee right now. So, of course, we'll still see what it looks like. It could be a way different story in a week or two or 3 weeks from now. We'll be like, remember when blobs cost zero and L2 gas price was low? But at least as of right now, I think that frame has been a little bit of an overestimation, which is nice, because I think we're always nervous about saying it's going to be so cheap, and then it's not, and then people get mad at me. I was willing. I was at a point. I was like, do I back off or do I double down? I was like, I'm going to double down.
Only go one way. Maybe on that point, like in general, do you have a dashboard or data on like how much cheaper things got on average? And maybe I guess percentage terms are interesting, and I guess this looked almost like 99%. But then if we actually like break this down to like nominal values, right? Like before Uniswap, like simple swap in a Uniswap V3 pool cost, I don't know, $3. Now it costs 10 cents.
Yeah. Yeah. So back on this dashboard, these are just median gas fees across everything. You see, it's hard to give a percentage or a number. Like, people were saying 10x, 100x. I don't know how to do like multiples and decreases, but like 99%. Like, I've got to the point of, do you care if it's 98 or 99% savings, or just what is the price? Like, it just is so small at that point. It's just kind of ridiculous. So that's a kind of like an overall same chart and logarithmic. Just you can actually see some of the splits, because you really can't up here. We had to have a list of some sample transactions down here. Of just like here, like Ecotone. So Ecotone was the name of the Optimism upgrade, and the legacy one here, and what the savings were. So yeah, the savings are all 98, 99%, kind of meaningless, I guess. But we see here, like, and yeah, simulated DEX trade at the current prices. Yeah, like 0.3 cents. NFT Mint, similar down there as well. What I'm actually very excited about is the cost of deploying contracts. So there's like a median size contract is like 6 cents. If you're doing like a large beefy contract, it's about 15 cents. But still imagining some apps may take 20 to 30 or so contracts per deployment. The cost to build on chain is cheap now. So you want to build stuff, now's the time, in my opinion.
On optimism.
On the super chain. Yeah.
So
if you take the old number and the current number, it's basically you're seeing like the, it used to pay 100x or 200x, that kind of range. And so basically now you're paying 1%, like 1 over 100 compared to before, or like 0.5% than before.
Yeah, it's like the percent numbers are kind of ridiculous at that point because it's just so small.
Yeah. But wow, that is insane. So I should load up a meme token trading wallet on Base to profit off of this. I mean, obviously Michael can't comment on this, but like that is it, like this is basically like Solana level of fees where it's just like it's essentially free. Like I can make 100 like DEX trades transactions for what, 30 cents now? Like that's insane.
How does it compare to Solana actually? It's still more expensive than Solana.
Probably. I think Afanu is a good nose of a dashboard to pull up. And I think I saw some people make comparisons there. But one note is, I mean, these L2s are seeing much less transaction volume now. So I think if there was 20 million transactions on an OP chain right now, I think that would trigger a base fee spike. Yeah. So yeah, all kind of relative there. I think this is potentially, we'll see what it looks like a month from now. We look back and be like, wow, look how dumb we were. L2 base fees aren't super high now. Blob base fees are one way. So this is a interesting period. So we'll see what I'm interested to see, like what potential like new chains are interested or in just deploying a chain now they see prices, or what new app developers are now deploying new apps when they see prices get this low. So I think I'd realize like a lot of these things you can talk forever. You've been talking for like I don't know how long, like, oh, fees are gonna get about to get really cheap for some period of time. But seeing it live I think is a way different. Yeah. I think a lot of people were surprised. They didn't believe our frame.
I have another view I can share if you can let me share my screen from courtesy of a friend of ours called Kofi, who made a recent website and it shows the like basic stuff that you can do across chain and how those costs and you can see here how the top few, so the first five, have adopted blobs while ZK Scroll hasn't yet. And you can see the difference is quite substantial. It's like almost a 10x, and relative to like OP mainnet and base, like almost 100x, 100x actually. So it is quite substantial of a change. And then compared to Ethereum, it's like it's not even on the same level. But this is probably a good view to like monitor across chains, like how each comparing fees and how those evolve over time. Without blobs. I think Arbitrum has another upgrade coming sometime today. So
I think today,
for reference, yeah. We're recording on like Monday the 18th. And this should, from what I heard, also reduce fees once more, although they already adopted blobs. So maybe we'll see them on closer to OP mainnet and base's fee levels, soon. That'll be interesting to monitor and see how not only the short term of like it just went live, but also most importantly, like once the fee markets kick in, like what the hell does this look like? Like, is it actually, are we back to where we were before? I don't think so at all. But like, you know, where do we settle in terms of like median fee prices?
Yeah, I think another good view I can share to Grow the Pie had a good visualization of when all these chains adopted blobs. Like this is what that's like on the actual day of the upgrade, what was I like watching and refreshing over and over and over? Was this site that Matthias and Grow the Pie put together. But similar to the view we showed before of just the OP chains, this is like where you could see all the chains up here. It's like, okay, Starknet was first to boom go down near zero. I think ZK Sync you'll see somewhere around here like boom near zero, base, OP mainnet, Zora. And so we'll see, I guess you could maybe even sooner zoom in here. Now that we're actually zoomed in on where prices are now and see, any upcoming upgrades or yeah, any kind of changes these chains make, what happened to fees from here? And as congestion happens, what happens there as well?
And would you say, like, say, if there's more rollup adopting the blob, and the gas fee for blob will go up on layer one over time? And it, to me, it's somewhat almost kind of a paradox that, you know, OP chain is trying to do this like super chain, and like OP stacks, and like Conduit is deploying like 5,000 OP chains every day. And then, like, but over time, it's actually, it's then OP rollups competing with each other actually going to make it more expensive. I don't know how you feel about that.
We're going to need more blobs. But yeah, or just like need, yeah. So it'll be interesting to see, is it a, yeah, like a back and forth of like L1 data was the bottleneck. Now L2 congestion is the bottleneck. Okay, now L1 data is the bottleneck again. Where do things go? Yeah, and what other kind of DA solutions exist? Like what, how we evolve from here?
Yeah, is there a world where optimism, like if blobs get too expensive, or like, I guess there's like a, because there now is a fee market, or like there's not yet a fee market for blobs, and there's a fee market for just usual call data. So like, right, could the rollup theoretically kind of like choose to post a blob or a call data? Like if the, like, depending on where the fees are lower, like a thing that people have thought about?
Yeah, depends on, yeah, I'm not sure how easy it is to flip back and forth, but yeah, if there's a world where blob gas price gets so expensive and L1 call data is cheaper, that'd be a crazy world. But yeah, if it does happen, then maybe it will, and we all look back, but yeah, if blobs get more expensive than call data, then yeah, rollup might decide, could it go back to posting to call data. But yeah, that would be, I don't even know, yeah, what the blob base we'd have to get to relative to, for that to be a case, and how much volume there would need to be to get there. But yeah, that is a consideration. I think like some chains are prepared for, like, if they have to go to call data, like, what do you do? That would be not ideal.
It seems very far away, but I guess somebody has thought about this at some point. It seems very unlikely that this would actually happen. Yeah, so, all right. I think we've learned about ER and blobs. And now this like, there's a lot of trends currently happening on optimism, or like in general in the ecosystem. So we have 4844, so now everything is cheaper. And then we kind of also have like frames. You showed a frame earlier where I sadly couldn't mint this frame, but in general, like, it seems to be like more often that people just interact with the chain in more like easier ways, and especially with frames. So maybe, Michael, what's your hot take on what 4844 and cheaper call data, yeah, or like cheaper posting of call data enable now?
Yeah, I kind of hinted at it before, but yeah, there is like some of these easier UX things, like, yeah, whether you're transacting through frames or transacting through some other kind of friendlier front end, I guess, than, you know, bouncing around to a million different websites and clicking buttons. I think there's been also some people waiting to get to a point, which I'm excited for and subscribe to the thought too, is at what point do, like, right now we're used to, like, I send a transaction, I pay the transaction fee for it. At what point do costs become cheap enough where, like, maybe, you know, chain developers, app developers could subsidize those gas fees. I think like some early examples we'd seen this, like there's some like trading apps, like options trading apps that are doing this now, which I think their economics are, if we're going to make more than the cost of a gas fee per trade, then like, yeah, absolutely subsidize gas fees. And, you know, their incentive is to get more volume. So if that helps you get more volume, then great. But I think, yeah, there's these thoughts of, yeah, when are people just going to be, yeah, not thinking about, you know, funding a wallet or sending their, you know, transactions and paying gas fees. I think, yeah, developer subsidizing fees could be a big one there. And as well, I mentioned, like, there's Coinbase has had some demo for smart wallets. Just thinking of like, how can you get the time from like, I want to do something to actually doing it, as quick as possible and as maybe economically less painful as possible.
Maybe I have two questions. One is there any downside or risk along with this EIP 4844, like, say, you know, now it's only stored, the blobs only stored for 18 days, and during that period there will be a fraud proof challenge, and then if it went through or whatever, but like, is there any chance that we need to retrieve any like blob data actually past 18 days and now we're not able to? And does that also change any like the data infra side? Because I know like now, because like you used to be able to query everything from call data, so layer one actually on chain data, But now you need to go to beacon chain and then look at the blob and then be able to like make sense of the blob. So yeah, is there any like security compromise based on this design?
Yeah, well, I know. I mean, yeah, fault proofs are going live on OP testnets as of the time of recording tomorrow. It's like March 19th. So that'll be exciting to see. But at least like as of like right now, the OP chain's fault proof window is 7 days. So I think the the calculation is if the blob's there 18 days, you need to derive the chain back from that for 7 days in order to like run fault proofs things. That should be enough time. But yeah, I think if you definitely lose something, like if you were to like run the batcher software and like decode all of these transaction batches, yeah, historically you could just say like, cool, I'll hit the L1 address and pull all that data and go do it. Now, yeah, you'd only be able to do that for the last 18 days. I guess it depends on like if whatever you're using actually prunes it or you are holding them forever. But yeah, I know a bunch of data providers have stated that they hold the blob. So I guess that'll work there. But it doesn't change the ability to get transactions from the L2 side. I guess the only risk is like, yeah, if your L2 shuts down and the RPCs are no longer usable, how to get all the old transaction data from it. So yeah, we will see. It's just like any case of is the data there forever or is it not there forever?
Okay, I know there's another, I think, theory, some MEV people being speculating. I'm not sure if the theory going to play out, but like basically they're saying, you know, there's this whole PBS design right now where basically the layer one block builder, they're packing the transaction into a block based on whatever the value they can get from that, right? So now they're saying like, because it's all about competing with latency, least latency, in layer one, actually like blob transaction, because they're bigger in size, it will add the memory load time when the builder communicating to relay. And hence, if, you know, the blob transaction are not, you know, valuable enough, as in like gas fee will have to be expensive, then block builder might just, you know, ignore it in terms of like economic incentive, especially say, imagine like in a volatile time, the big block builders who are also high frequency trader, they will want to include their block transaction with their most valuable transaction to do CFI DeFi arbitrage and potentially maybe ignoring all the blobs. And so that might be, you know, Block Native had a website called usernow.xyz, and they had a metrics called blob contention. And so basically it's saying like, if there's any blobs that's been waiting for over one block, I think personally that's a too strict of a metrics. Like, because there's a lot of like mempool transactions potentially waiting for a few blocks. And if there's many conditions can cause that happen. Like for example, if the blob gas fee was set too low, or if there's like just really congested, so many blobs are submitting from different rollups, that metrics can also blow up. But I think it's interesting that like, you know, MEV people always have some drama, and like they're trying to like, you know, speculating this drama of like block builder will be super mercenary, they're going to ignore blob and unless it's going to get very expensive. So I'm curious, like, if you see that going to happen, as in like, you know, blob will have to be expensive from another angle.
Yeah, I'll just pull up. This is, one of the sites I've been looking at to see how long it's taking blobs to get in. So this is like, EtherNow's website. You can filter to the type 3 transactions, which are the blob carrying transactions. So it looks like they have it labeled an Arbitrum block. It was only the mempool for one block, but I think, good points of like things to track over time. Like if it becomes a problem that blocks or blob carrying transactions are sitting the mempool for way, way, way longer than any other transactions. I mean, Chris, your take too is like the MEV expert. I think there would be something is like, if you do see that some of these transactions aren't getting in whatever time you want them to get in, whatever that threshold is. Yeah. How do you go about that? Like, is it higher priority fees, eventually potential blob priority fees? Yeah, who knows? I don't know. Yeah. I think, but it was definitely something monitored at least around time of launch. Is like, okay, are these earlier chains, like, are they getting their blobs in? Do things look good? Do we have to set high priority fees? I know it's like a lot of interesting new metrics to track from this.
Yeah. So like quick comments on that. I think I also built a quick dash on Duna, just checking if the big block builders are doing this or like misbehaving or et cetera. The first few days, or at least in the past week, I think it looked to be looking good. And the EtherNow metrics has been 0% most of the time when I check. I think it's possible still, like theoretically it makes sense. And but not from the top block builder, because they do actually know that they are playing a reputation game. Everyone's having their eyes on them. Like, oh, if you're actually ignoring blobs, like, what are you doing? You already have like 50 or 70% of network. But I did see in the past, when I look into some really high value block from some very smaller builder who are also a searcher, like for example, this builder called Icon has a block. I think he's also Atomic, like searcher. He's like a front runner or something. I think his searcher name is called a Yoink, the MEME contract. Yeah. And there's another, I think actually, a white hat hacker, Coffee Babe. Sometimes he has his block with only 3 transactions. So like this type of searcher builder, they try to really front run everything, and they try to just include as least a transaction that's just important. Maybe, you know, either for saving the fund or maybe making the arbitrage for themselves, Atomic MEV. Then they will try to make a like pretty much empty-ish block. So to basically make it smaller, so to really pass it on faster. So I think that could happen, but not really actually the targets people are looking at. But still possible, I guess, like when CeFi, DeFi price are super volatile. So we'll have to keep an eye.
Michael, did you see any chart crimes or any kind of false interpretations of the facts? I mean, there must have been something during this rather technically complex undertaking that the Ethereum network and all its roll-up kind of undertook, where somebody misinterpreted something. So maybe if you can share a couple of examples.
yeah, it could be skewed in a way. Maybe I've seen, like, I think there's a lot of great dashboards by like Hill, Bobby, Rob, that we showed before too. But I could potentially self-report myself, not a chart crime, but a learning in how to present data in a way. So, you know, there's this dashboard for, like I showed before, the Ecotone upgrade impact. So at first, the only charts I showed were in like logarithmic y-axis, which the point of it was, like, actually in our like war room for the upgrade, it was like showing these charts and got like, I thought it was a very fair question. Like, hey, we put these charts in log. When it's in normal, like, I can't see what's happening. It's just all zero. It's like, yeah, great idea. Put it in log. And I like log because I can actually see like, okay, base got a little more expensive here. OP mainnet fluctuating back and forth. Zor got a little more expensive here. But the crime, I guess, that I saw is that this logarithmic chart was screenshotted and shared all over the place. And people were saying like, oh, it looks like fees are down 50%. Like, it's a logarithmic chart. They're not down 50%. They're down like a lot more, which led me to then be like, all right, let's put the normal y-axis up here. And then there's the data nerd version down here, which I think is, yeah, maybe a similar kind of learning for all the data nerds out there. Yeah, I mean, the simple things are the most popular, but yeah, we'll save our data nerd things for the data nerd section. So yeah, potentially some miscommunicating of how much fees actually dropped from this. But I like the logs.
Basically, you just shit on all your viewers. You're like, you guys educate yourself.
Well, no, I mean, it's an inverse chart crime. Yeah, you wouldn't expect a logarithmic, you know, I'm coming to you admitting my faults.
Yeah.
I'm not
fair
perfect.
Enough. Fair enough. Yeah, that is sad. Yeah, logarithmic charts are some, like, if you're not a data person, I can see how people just kind of misinterpret that. Anything else that was like notable? I think the topics is like somewhat complex enough for like non like professionals in quotation marks to even like attempt to dive into it, and it's like not that much of a hype topic. So I wouldn't expect too much bullshit to have happened.
Yeah.
Well,
there
was like the eternal EVM versus Solana discussion where like some of the EVM people were like, oh, like fees are forever super cheap, and like compared to Solana, it's the same fee. And then Solana guys was like, oh, it's temporary, and you know, and like let's see when market kicks in. Which I technically they're right, but I mean, somewhere in the middle is probably where I stand. I guess it's like, yeah, it's definitely like a big improvement. It's like it's worth cheering on. But it's far from ever being like Solana levels of like being able to have 20,000 transactions at very, very cheap levels. But yeah, either way, like it's, you know, we're moving forward in the right direction. And I think, you know, I'm not a big fan of any maximalists in general. It's just dumb, I think, to just be a maximalist for something and say the rest is shit. You know, I think like it's better if we all like band together and like just enjoy the ride, I guess.
Yeah, I think one thing people had said with this upgrade, which was very cool, is at least, you know, see how long it lasts. But
large parts of the world where using the on-chain applications was not feasible even on L2s, and now it is, at least for some period of time. So make the experience better, bring the whole world on chain. We're on the path.
Yeah, I think that's good finishing thoughts. I think we can properly end. Oh, Denning has a last.
Oh yeah, yeah. I just need to share this joke that Michael had on Twitter. Like, so it's about the blob, right? So, well, why you think 45 is afraid of 40? What's the answer?
Why is 45 afraid of 40?
I know the answer. I'll let Florian.
44. Do you love it?
I think he's processing.
He likes it.
48. Okay. So 40 is a very violent number, I see. Or something like that. Oh man, that was pretty hard.
the respect level of being from here of like, wow, cool blob topics to that joke. You're seeing the real me now.
That's a proper dad joke. I think on that note, we can actually end this podcast. Yeah, thanks so much for sharing your insights, Michael. And I'm sure you'll be back with the next Optimism upgrade or like maybe just in a couple of weeks to actually observe how the fee markets evolved and everything. And yeah, just thanks for all your contributions to the data space. It's really, really good to see you grinding. I certainly learned a lot in this episode and learned a lot from your dashboards. Yeah, really cool how all the superchain vision kind of plays out. Keep doing your thing. Thanks for this episode, guys. And to the listeners, see you in the next episode in an undetermined amount of time. See you guys. Bye-bye.
Right. Well, yeah. Thanks for having me.